Anyway, I didn't really really know where to start today, to be honest, and I thought about it, and as I got into it, I got more and more frustrated with myself, and I got more and more annoyed with myself, and I guess that's just typical Michael, to be honest. I tend to make things more complicated than what they really need to be, and I have this habit of digging into something rather than just letting it be, and it's just not good for me because I get all twisted up and I try to work out things that I really can't work out, and my brain doesn't work like that. So simply, what I wanted to talk about today was I just wanted to talk about God's Word and how if we open it up and listen to it, it will shine a light onto our lives. And you probably noticed that theme coming through a little bit in those songs that we have been singing this morning. When I spoke a couple of 3 weeks ago, I talked about a race that I did, the God's Own Race, and it was 7 days, 24 hours a race. And I talked about during that time in that race, in one stage of the race, we got completely and utterly lost. But if you were watching us from the outside, and you could do that, you could track people on the computer at home and watch the teams and see where they were going and how they were getting on. To everybody else, it looked like we knew exactly where we were going. But to those that actually knew the race and knew what was happening, like the race director, they knew that we were completely and utterly lost. And I image that a little bit to how we live our day-to-day lives. And from the outside, it all looks great. Sometimes we all look like we've got it together and it's all great, and we smile at the right times and we say the right things and we do the right things, but on the inside it's absolutely totally different. And I guess the people that are really close to us, they'll pick up on that, and God definitely picks up on that because he knows us better than anybody. So the other part of being lost in that race was the fact that we were given directions to where we should have been going. And we didn't cheat. We didn't have someone ring us up and say that if you go here, here, and here, you'll get back on track in this race. You see, we were looking for this hut. And once we got to the hut, we knew that we were close to where we had to be for the next stage of the race. The problem is we got to a hut, but it was the wrong hut. It was the complete, it shouldn't have been where it was. Anyway, after 4 days of racing, 4 days, four nights, no sleep whatsoever, I was getting pretty low on things. We had spent the last few hours bashing through this area that was really, really horrible terrain, and I was trying to G up the rest of the team because I was supposed to be the navigator, and we got to this hut, and I was, oh, thank goodness, we've made it to the hut. And Jane, who was in our team, Chrissy's sister, she said to me, do you want the good news or the bad news, Michael? And I said, well, I'll take the good news first, because I didn't really want to know too much bad news at the time. And she said, we've got a hut. The bad news is it's the wrong hut. And I was just so deflated. I could not believe it. I was pretty angry actually. Yeah, I was frustrated, and I spat the toys out of the cot, chucked them all out, and spat the dummy out, and I said, that's it, it's game over. Moz ring the helicopter and get us picked up and we'll go back home, and that's it. Whole year of training wasted, blah, blah, blah. You know what it's like. You know what guys do when they lose the plot a little bit. And anyway, Jane said, well, the helicopter isn't going to come in at this hour of the night, as it was 3 a.m. in the morning. It was freezing cold, it was raining, it was dark, it was just horrible. So we decided that we would sleep in the hut for the night, or for the rest of that night. So we stepped into this hut, and it was a really tiny, tiny, tiny little hut. And there was two wee bunk beds there, and there was four of us. And I said to them, I'll take the floor, because I won't sleep anyway. I was having a real patty. And the rest of them, they jumped into the bunk beds, and after 4 days of no sleep, Jane decided to read a book, and I thought you would just nod off to sleep straight away, but she decided that she would read the hut book. that was in this hut. And the last entry in that hut book was in 1976. And we were...
Clearly a hard hut to find, was it?
It was the hut was pretty munted, actually, to be honest. Even lying on the floor, I was a wee bit worried about what was going to crawl into my sleeping bag. But anyway, it was in 1976. And Jane, and this guy had wrote in this hut book, he said that whoever reads this, I'm going to go and try and make my way to the Jolly River pickup point. And I was taking a shortcut, and it was pretty extreme, and if anything happened to me, you would know where to find me. And I've marked this on the wall on the hut, the route that he was going to take. And you see, and I'm sitting there lying on the floor in my frustrated state, and I was kind of listening to what Jane was saying, and then it clicked. And I said to her, I said, oh, what did you say, Jane? And she said, oh, the guy's telling us how he's going to get to the Jolly River pickup point. And I said to him, I said, you do realise that the Jolly River pickup point is where we are supposed to be. And in that moment, we all jumped up out of bed and we had our headlights on and we were looking for this map on the wall. And sure enough, this guy had marked on the map on the wall exactly where we were supposed to be. So we grabbed our maps and we marked on our maps and we marked the route and we packed up our gear. And by this stage, it was about 4 a.m. and we carried on. And eventually we got to that place and that shortcut, and I believe it was the reason why this guy said, if I don't make it, this is where you'll find me, because I remember being on my hands and knees in the dark, crawling up this mountain, and I was literally, my fingernails were clinging into the rocks. And I remember hanging on and looking through my armpit at Jane, and I said to her, I will not make this any further. I cannot go any further. I'm going to freeze. And she said, well, you can freeze here for the rest of your life, but I'm not. I'm carrying on up there. And so anyway, eventually we did make it to the top, and it was plain sailing after that. But I guess as I was walking along, God really, really spoke to me from that point on in the race, and it was like he switched this light on. And I had this revelation about that hut book being the Bible. And it was saying to me, if I want real direction in my life, I needed to open up the Bible more and start listening to it more, and God will give me directions. And as I walked along, I remembered that song that we used to play when we were teenagers, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near, please be near me to the end. So for the rest of the race, this whole vision of that hut book being the Bible was going around and around and around in my head, and so was that song for some reason. It just kept on playing over and over and over. And eventually we finished the race, we made it back on track, and we finished a few days later. And I thought to myself, I've never done anything so hard in all my life as that race. But at the same time, I've never been spoken to by God as clearly as I had in that hut. And it said that the light that God brings to our path each day is amazing. And Jesus came. Oh, I hate this thing. And it says, Jesus came to bring light to a dark world, a world that is lost. He came to offer us a way of living in the light and not to be trapped in the darkness and have no direction. And you see, in this book, the Bible offers you nothing but truth. It gives us direction, and there is nothing in this book that will head you in the wrong direction. And there's nothing in this book that will head you away from God. You see, we do that ourselves. And I often wonder what God wants from me. And once again, I overthink it. And simply, he wants me to believe in him, and he wants me to live a life in the light with him. And living in the light is a great place to be, but it isn't always easy. We all know that, don't we? There's always these bumps on the road. and they're there to trip us up. And this week, or the week before, had been a real battle, an absolute battle. And I listened to this guy here as I was looking for something on the internet, and I thought what he said was absolutely 100%. He's pretty hard to understand, but simply he's cutting this road, and the dirt was a bit wishy-washy, and it formed all these ups and downs, and he got really frustrated with it. But he soon realised that, you know, the bumps are there, and as they smooth out, the road gets better and better, and life gets better and better. And I thought that was such a cool clip. And if you know that guy's background, he's got a wee kid that's really, really, really sick, and I guess that's what he hangs on to, is one day that that road's going to smooth out and it's going to be a really, really cool road. And like I'm saying, you know, like if we live in the light, and sometimes that's really, really hard to do. And the week before last was just an absolute battle. It really was. I was getting frustrated with stuff at work, and things weren't going right, and people were on my case, and it gets you down. It absolutely gets you down. And I felt like the devil was really having a go at me, and he was trying to make me come up with some excuse not to to be here. And he was attacking my thoughts, and he was saying to me, saying, you know, how can you get up on a Sunday morning and talk about being a light in the community when you act like this? And last Friday night, I got up, and I was really wrestling with it as I was lying in bed there, and I got up and I went downstairs and I sat in the chair and I looked out into the darkness, and I just prayed to God, and I said, Lord, you need to break these chains of doubt that are in my life. And I looked out into the darkness and I said, I don't want to live in that darkness. I want to live in the light with you. And there was this real calmness that came around me, and God gave me a real peace, and once again he just put into my head, stop overcomplicating things. And of course he said to me, he said, you're going to get bumps in your road this week, step over them, work on making the road smooth. And then I found that clip and I thought, oh, you know what, God's got it all in control. And when Jesus came to earth, he came to bring light and help create that smooth road, didn't he? On John 18:12, he says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And like I said before to the kids, that, you know, Jesus came to this world because it was full of darkness, and he came with a reason, and we remember that reason so that we can live in the light. And later on we'll take communion, and that reminds us of that sacrifice, that we can be able to live in the light. Psalm 119 verse 105, it says, like that song, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word will guide us. This word will guide us, and it will be a lamp to our feet, and it comforts us in times of stress, anxiety, illness, worry in our day-to-day lives. But we need to open it up, just like the hut book. I needed to open this up. And if I don't open it up, I don't get directions. And when Jesus came on this earth, he was preparing us to continue living with the light and being the light. And Jesus turned his focus on us being the light in his absence. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in that house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Verse 16 again, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus came to be the light, and we are called to be the light. And someone said to me the other day, if you take a photo of Jesus, what would you see? And I would see someone that loves. I'd see someone that showed kindness, someone that offered a light, life for eternity, someone that showed forgiveness, someone that came with a purpose, someone that listened, someone that shared warmth, that was strong, that was powerful, someone that taught, someone that didn't gossip, someone that didn't speak bad of someone else, someone that encouraged, someone that helps, someone that gives, someone that shares. And that's what I would see, and a lot of other things that I would see if I saw that photo of Jesus. Matthew 15 says, we are the light of the world, just as Jesus was light of the world. So I flipped the question to myself and thought to myself, if I take a photo of myself, what would I see? And I thought about taking it with one of those old Instamatic cameras, you know, where you click and it comes out the end and you put it under your armpit and the heat makes the photo develop and blah, blah. And sometimes I would really hope that that photo didn't develop, to be perfectly honest. And there'll be times where that photo would be reasonably fuzzy compared to what Jesus's photo would be like. And then there might be the odd time where that photo looked really quite clear, but they're few and far between. And that's something that I need to work on. We need to all be living in the light so we can shine the light. I guess that's the easiest way of putting that. And I told you the other day about me running earlier in the morning and seeing that light away off into the distance, and how as I got closer it gave me hope. And as I got closer to that and as the light got brighter, I could see better and I could see where I was placing my feet and I felt warmer just going towards that light. And I felt a whole lot safer when I did get to that light. And I remember standing at that light away out in the country the other morning when it was pitch black, and I thought to myself, this is what Jesus has brought to us. Life is hard, and the smallest bits of light give us hope. And as we draw closer to the light, to Jesus, it gives us warmth, it gives us comfort, it gives us strength, it gives us power, it gives us satisfaction, it gives us direction, it gives us a firm footing, it gives us a purpose, it gives us balance, it gives us peace, and it gives us a coping mechanism. The other morning, for I don't know why, but I decided that I would go and climb to the top of the Danzies Pass. And so I left in the early hours of morning, and then just as I was getting to the top, the sun started to rise. And it was freezing cold, it had just been snowing, and it was really windy, and I stopped and I watched. And I sat there in awe of God's creation. And as the sun hit the top of the hills, those amazing sunrise colours started to appear. And I forgot about the cold. I forgot about the snow-chilled wind and the thought of climbing back down again. And I realised in that moment with God how much power the light has. With light comes hope. And I often wonder why a whole lot of photographers take photos of sunrises rather than sunsets. And I wonder if it's because each time we see a sunrise, it gives us another day of opportunity, another day of hope. And there is something special, something peaceful and reflectful and powerful about a sunrise. And see, I live at that end of the spectrum. I love getting up early and I see lots and lots of sunrises. And if you haven't seen a sunrise, then please get up early in the morning and go and watch a sunrise, and do it by yourself. Don't take anybody else with you. The only person I want you to take with you is God. And you sit there and you watch the sun come up, and as it comes up, you ask him, what is today going to bring for us together? And this morning, I did exactly that. I went down to the harbour and I watched the sunrise come up. And it was a beautiful sunrise this morning. And it gives you hope when that sun starts coming up. And it gives you even more hope when you watch that and you know that Jesus is with you each part of that day that he is about to give us. Let's face it, the world's a mess. And it needs to see a little bit of light. And as Christians, how do we be light and how do we share the light? And like I said, sometimes that is really hard to do some days. And as I head towards 60, I'm still taking baby steps. And I know with God, I'll get better at it. And so tomorrow, maybe I just go home this afternoon and bake a cake and take it to work for Smoko and just shine a bit of light that way. You know, last week and Tani probably wouldn't like me saying this, but she rocked up to work. It was a freezing, freezing cold day, and she turned up there with all the soup and cheese rolls and cakes and fruit and hot drinks and all that for the guys at work. And I just said to her, I said, why did you do that? And she said, well, it was cold. And I'm like, wee things like that make a big difference to the people that are around you. And I was sitting in my office on Friday and I got to this point and I thought, someone's watching me. And I looked and I could see this guy in the doorway. And I thought to myself, and then I realised who it was. It was my best man from my wedding. And I hadn't seen him for years and years and years and years, to be honest. And here he was on his way to somewhere and he thought, oh, I'll call in and see Michael. And I bet you he doesn't realise how much light he shone on me that day, because many a times I've always thought to myself, I must go and see him, I must go and see him, but I never get around to it. Yet he got around to it and he cared enough to call in and say hello. And that spoke massively to me. You know, so maybe I should go and see that person that I've said I should go and that I've said I will always go and see, or make that phone call. Alex, you don't realise just how important those phone calls are, mate. Thanks. Let someone go in front of you in the queue. Talk to that person that doesn't say too much. Listen to someone's story. Be interested in other people's life. Ask someone how their day is going instead of telling them about how your day's going. Thank someone. Don't take people for granted. The small things give us hope. Ephesians 5 and 8, it says, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of the light. And we're going to come around communion shortly. But before we do that, I want you to listen to this song that I found the other day that this girl sings. And in the last 10 months, she's had like 16 million views on this song, and it talks about the blood of Christ and what that means to us. And I just want you to listen to this song and then we'll take communion. Thanks, Knuckle. I've listened to that song a few times this week. I love it. I just think, you know, glory to his name, glory to his name. As we take the communion, and I said to you last time, I love taking the communion. And as we sit here now, I really wonder what you're thinking. I honestly do. How do you feel about who you are? How do you feel about your relationship with God? And I wonder if you're thinking, my light didn't shine too much this week. And I wonder if you're even thinking that you're not good enough to take communion this morning because you had a bad week and you think you let God down. And I guess if that's the case, then I'm the first to put up my hand and say, I probably shouldn't be taking it. And I remember once being told when I was young that if you're not right with God, don't take communion. And I thought about that, and I've thought about it all my life, really. and that statement. And I think as I get older, I think the best place for me to be when I feel astray from God or I've had a bad week is at the communion table. And because it brings me back to reality, it brings me back to what God has done for me to be able to walk in the light. And even though I don't get that right every day, even though I don't, I muck up all the time, but God doesn't see that because he washes us white with his blood. And if we can't unload at the communion table, then I don't know where we can unload. And if we can't let go of the stuff that has gone on in the week at the communion table, then I don't know where we can do that. The thief on the cross, as he was drawing his last few breaths together with Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus died for us to come to the cross, not stay away from the cross. You know, he didn't look at it and go, "Well, today you can't be here, Michael, because you've had a bad week." So when we pick up this bread and we pick up this juice and put it into our hands, that's your moment. No one else's moment. That's your moment with God. And it doesn't matter who's around you, who's beside you, what's happened, that's your moment. That's your sunrise. You can take as long as you want with that, and no one will care, because that's your moment. And it's a pretty amazing space to be able to have in this day and age. A space that you and your Saviour can have, where you can come and just thank him for what he has done through the blood. So I just wonder if we can make our way up and take the emblems and remember what Jesus has done for us. And before we do that, I just want to pray. Dear Father God, we just, as we look at the cross and we look at the sacrifice that has been made there to allow us to come to the foot of the cross each day, we thank you so much for that, Lord. We thank you that you came into this dark world and you shed light on it. And Father, as we take this cup and this emblem, let this be our sunrise. Let this be our time alone with you and reflect on the wonderful journey that we have ahead, where that road will become smoother and smoother. In Jesus' name, amen.